little story is about him. He served as a Marine in World War II. He had been stationed in Nagasaki, Japan, just 3 weeks after the atomic bomb had been dropped. He said when he got there, people were still wandering around aimlessly, covered in dust, looking for food, for friends, for home, for hope. One day, as he patrolled the narrow streets, he saw a sign in English and Japanese. It said, Baptist Church. And so the next Sunday, Buckner Fanning showed up at the sign and he walked into that partially collapsed building. Windows were shattered, walls buckled. As he stepped through the rubble, he saw 15 or so Japanese Christians gathering. They were setting up chairs, they were clearing debris and wiping dust. I want you to try and imagine what they felt when they looked up and in stepped an American soldier in his best uniform, Bible underneath his arm. These Japanese believers had seen their city destroyed, loved ones burned or buried, their bodies exposed to nuclear fallout. How do you think they would respond to this American soldier walking into their church, a symbol of all their pain? I want you to try and feel the tension of that moment. Buckner Fanning only knew just very little Japanese. They knew very little English, but there was one word that was spoken that he understood that day. The Japanese Christians looked at him and called him brother. When they saw him, they called him brother and waved him in and cleaned off a chair with a rag and invited him to take a seat. And he sat there listening to a Bible lesson being taught in Japanese that he couldn't understand, but he very much understood their welcome to him. And then the time came that his Japanese brothers and sisters handed him what we just partook of, the cup and the loaf. And for a few moments, the racial strife, the hurt of the war, the animosity between nations was set aside as one Christian served another, the body of Christ and the blood of Jesus. I read that story recently and it made me want to cry. Made me wonder how we would do in that kind of setting. And more specifically, how would I do in that kind of setting? If, you know, the tables are turned and we've had that kind of tragic thing happen in our lives and in our country, and in walks an enemy soldier. You know, only by the grace of God could I be warm and welcoming in such a setting. And probably you would have to say the same thing. It would be hard. So hard. So today I want to talk to you about forgiveness. We've been looking at parables the last 3 weeks that teach us to be all in with Jesus. I could not preach this series of sermons on the parables without giving attention to the teaching that Jesus gave us in Matthew chapter 18. The New Living Translation has a heading which says this, the parable of the unforgiving debtor. Now, if you're reading from the New International Version, it has a different heading than that. Its heading is the parable of the unmerciful servant. And sometimes we forget that this parable was preceded by a question from the Apostle Peter. If you're in Matthew chapter 18, you look at verse 21, Peter asked Jesus the question, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? As I studied for this sermon, I learned that the rabbinical teaching of the day was, if you forgave your offender three times for the same offense, then you were really doing something. I mean, three times. And Peter's going far and beyond that with his question to Jesus, shall I forgive my offender up to seven times? I mean, he's really walking the extra mile here. He's far exceeding the expectation. He is off the charts in extending grace to his offender. But Jesus, I'm sure, shocked him and everybody else who's listening as his answer was not seven times, Peter, but up to 70 times seven. This was a jaw-dropping moment for Peter and for the other disciples that are there. I imagine Jesus about had to pick them up off of the floor. 70 times seven? You know, if we're honest, it's a jaw-dropping moment for us too. And of course, Jesus wasn't meaning on the 491st time, then you can start holding a grudge. That is not what he was indicating or teaching at all. He's saying, no, you just keep on forgiving over and over and over again. So let me share some points with you, and I hope that all of us today will have ears to hear. And the first point is this, the reality. All of us will be faced with the choice to forgive, which means we will be offended from time to time. Each and every one of us, people will say things that hurt us. People will do things or they will not do things that are offensive to us. And you know, lots of times those things are just the little things. On a scale of 1 to 10, maybe it's a 2 or a 3 or a 4 that is against us. And we have to decide with even those little things, am I going to forgive or am I going to be offended and hold a grudge? But then there's times, of course, yes, that they're much bigger on that scale of 1 to 10. Maybe it's an 8 or a 9. Maybe it's a 12 on a scale of 10. And we really do feel offended. It hurts bad. And we have a choice of whether we're going to forgive or hold a grudge. If we rely on our feelings, then we're liable to lean into unforgiveness because it does hurt. And we're thinking, I didn't deserve to be treated like that. I didn't deserve that injustice. But if we rely on God and His truth and His Holy Spirit in us, then we will know what we need to do, no matter how bad it hurts, no matter how tough it is. We lean into Him and He helps us to forgive. Is it easy? No. Is it possible? Yes. It's possible with His help. Keep in mind, there's nothing too difficult for God. No matter what's been done against us, no matter how big the hurt is, if we lean into Him, He can help us to offer forgiveness. Philippians 4:19, that verse I think was mentioned in our Sunday school class just the hour earlier. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Jeremiah 32 verse 27 says, is anything too difficult for me? That's the Lord talking. He's saying, is anything too difficult for me? Verse 17 of that same chapter, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you." And Matthew 19:6 says, "With God all things are possible." And Luke 1:37 says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Even forgiveness, when the offense really is off the charts, it is possible with God. Let me give you a second point, the requirement. We must forgive. Think about this, along with love, is what separates us from the world. I think those two things maybe separate us from the person who's living in the world more than anything else. Our love and our willingness to forgive when we've been offended. The world's way is to retaliate, to not just get even, but to get revenge and to hold a grudge until we go to the grave. But that is not Jesus's way, as we hear him speak these words from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." If anyone didn't deserve the injustice they received, it was Jesus. He was without sin. He was totally in the right, and they treated him totally to the wrong. But his response was that of forgiveness. He set the example for us. We too are to forgive those who offend us, and this is taught throughout Scripture. I want to read to you from Luke chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. Luke 17, verses 3 and 4, Jesus is speaking. He says, "Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, 'I repent,' forgive him." Now, I don't know about you, but from a fleshly nature, if someone's sinned against me multiple times in the same day, I might be able to forgive them three or four times. I mean, I feel like I'd be doing pretty good at that point. You know, somebody smacks me in the cheek, and I turn the other cheek, and they hit me and turn three or four times. But seven, I'm ready to give them something besides forgiveness at that point. And Jesus says, somebody sins against you seven times in the day, forgive them. That is exceptional forgiveness. But I might say too, that's possible only through Jesus. We can't do that in our own fleshly nature or our own fleshly power. It's only through Jesus that we can have that kind of forgiveness. Notice the context of this passage too. In verses 1 and 2 of this chapter, Jesus is talking about stumbling blocks. He's talking about little children. And you put all of this together, I think he's saying, be careful, because little eyes are watching you, and they're learning from you. And how you choose to act in this moment of offense, how you choose to forgive or not forgive, those little eyes are watching, and they are learning, and they are going to imitate you. And so be careful. You that have little kids in the home, be careful. When you are offended, they're watching, they're listening, they're learning from you about how to forgive or how not to forgive. And you know what? I think those little ones, they grow up, and even into their adult years, they're still watching and they're still learning from you. When you are in a situation where you are offended and you are dealt a bad deck of cards, they're learning. They're watching how you respond to your offender. I'm thinking back 8 years ago when I was in a situation where I had to make a choice of forgiveness or holding on to a grudge, building a grudge within and just hanging on to it for dear life. I had that choice, and my kids at that time, all three of them were in their 20s, and they were watching very closely how their dad was going to respond to that situation. And we're all finding ourselves from time to time in that kind of a position where we're teaching our kids, whether they're this size or this size, about forgiveness. And I pray that we can be that stepping stone for them towards Jesus rather than to be a stumbling block for them away from Jesus. Listen to these verses on forgiveness. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Colossians 3:13, bear with one another and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. These are verses that lead me then to the next point. Point number three, the motivation for forgiveness is simply the forgiveness of God towards us. We forgive because we have been forgiven a debt that we could never have paid in full. And that takes me back to this parable in Matthew chapter 18. I mentioned it to you earlier, but haven't got to it yet. A servant owed his master an unpayable debt. If you're not familiar with this text, I want to encourage you to read it sometime today and think about it. This servant owed his master an unpayable debt, 10,000 talents, according to the text. Now, that doesn't mean much to us today. A talent was a measurement in that day and age. And several years ago, when I preached on this sermon another different time, I did some research on a talent as to how much it was if we were dealing with gold. And at that time, and I'm sure the amount has changed because the amount, the value of gold has gone up. But at that time, and we're probably talking 10, 15 years ago, one talent of gold would have been $5,760,000. Think about that. $5,760,000 was equivalent to one talent of gold. This fella owed his master 10,000 talents. So we're talking 5,760,000 times 10,000. This last week, as I prepared this sermon, I did that on my calculator on my phone, and it went crazy. It couldn't even tabulate the number. So we are talking an unpayable debt. That's what this guy owed his master. And if he didn't get it paid, he was going to be sold. His wife and children were going to be sold. Everything that had his name on it was going to be sold. It wasn't going to pay the debt. But the master was like, you know, this is the best the guy can do. I'm going to get rid of him. And the fella falls on his knees to his master, and he begs for mercy. And lo and behold, the master forgave him the entire debt. Just wiped his slate clean. Everything that he owed, he was freed of that. He became debt-free at that moment. The master lavished his grace upon the servant. But if you keep reading the parable, the servant, who has just been blessed beyond measure, he goes out from his master's presence, and he sees a fellow servant who owes him 100 denarii. And you say, I don't know what a denarii is. A denarii was simply a day's wage. And I'm sure If this fella made $1 a day, let's say, $1 a day, that would have been pretty much the standard. We're talking $100 versus this unpayable debt. He's just been forgiven this unpayable debt. And this fellow servant who owes him $100, and the guy grabs him by the neck and he says, "You got to pay me right now." And the guy's begging for mercy. "Give me some time. Be patient with me and I'll get you your money." "No way." And he throws him into the jail. And there's other people that are watching and they see what's happened. They know what he's been forgiven, and they know now how he's treated his fellow servant and the lack of mercy that he has had, and they go tell the master. He who had received mercy could not give mercy. And when the master heard what had happened, he had the servant brought in. And he had some things to say to him. And the end result was not good for the unforgiving servant. Do you see the nugget of truth in this parable? We have an unpayable debt to our master, to God. We have sinned against him, and we deserve hell. But he paid the price. He paid the debt for us with the blood of his own son. And his forgiveness to us should motivate us to forgive others. Doesn't really have any stipulation or qualifications. You know, when Jesus says you forgive, that's exactly what he meant. He didn't say it's, you know, on that chart, those 2, 3, 4, those things, forgive. Don't worry about the bigger things. No, we just forgive. Because we have been forgiven. And so here's the fourth point. The warning: if we don't forgive, we will not be forgiven. Let me read to you from Matthew chapter 6. Verses 14 and 15. "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." It's pretty clear, isn't it? If we're unwilling to forgive, how can we expect forgiveness to be offered to us? It will not happen. Jesus is that straightforward. Let me read to you from Mark chapter 11, verse 25. "Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions." The message is consistent throughout Scripture. If we want forgiveness, we must be willing to forgive. And so, going back to our theme for 2025, all of us, all in, all the time. Do you want to be all in with Jesus? If so, if you want to be all in with Jesus, you have to forgive. You have to forgive those who have hurt you. Watch this video that I have for you, and this actually will be in place of our invitation time. We're not going to sing a song together today, but we're going to watch this and be challenged by it. And if at some point you want to come forward, feel free to do that.